Hey everybody, I'm Eric, and today I watched The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 10, New Best Friends. Spoilers ahoy, if you haven't seen this episode yet and you don't want to find out what happens, then hit pause, hit stop, hit rewind, and go watch the episode first. It's a good one. I enjoyed it. But before we talk about it, there is a very important thing that I forgot to mention last week, and it was my favorite. I forgot to mention it as my favorite moment of the entire episode. So when the gang is at the highway, the on-ramp there, and all the cars are blocking the way, we're like, all right, we got to move these, then we'll move them back. And Tara is behind the wheel of a like a sedan, and then somebody, I forget who it was, but somebody is behind her in a truck. At first, I thought, okay, the truck is pushing that car, which makes sense, but that wasn't the case. There was no contact, and as soon as she turned out of the way of that truck, she gives him a look like I see and do myself in traffic, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you following so close behind me? And kind of the hands, raising the hands up a little bit, like, come on. And I really enjoyed that moment. It's good to see that that annoyance in traffic sustained through the zombie apocalypse. There's another moment like this in this episode. With Aaron and Gabriel. So now we're into the action of this episode. There's a moment when Gabriel goes to help Aaron with a cut that he has on his face. And Aaron looks so annoyed when he touches him with who knows where that piece of cloth has been. And kind of similar to the car annoyance. And I enjoyed it. All right, so what happened in this episode? We open with Morgan and some of the kingdom folks, Richard and Ezekiel and that one guy, the dude, the little dude. He's not so little, but I wrote his name as dude because he doesn't say his name. Jerry's there as well. But they're doing their drop-off to the saviors. The saviors that are charged with handling the kingdom are not intimidating guys. They're kind of doofuses, and I guess because up to this point Ezekiel has been kind of a pushover. They're like, we don't have to send Simon out there. We don't need someone who's going to be like a total jerk to them and all of that stuff. It's not necessary. Because they're compliant. So that's not how things went in this instance, as we had a bit of a standoff, mostly because of Richard, because he was there again. He was a problem last time. And he stands off against Jared. They have their guns pointed right at each other's faces, and Morgan defends Richard, and then the dude attacks the guy when he goes to attack Morgan, but ultimately Morgan loses his stick. Back at the kingdom, Richard is practicing his bow and arrow skills, and Daryl comes over. He's like, hey, what you doing? Well, I know what you're doing, but what you doing? And Richard gives Daryl a crossbow. So Daryl doesn't have his crossbow back, but he has a crossbow, and he's well-prepped to abandon the kingdom. But not yet. First, he has to find Carol. Well, that's not his goal. Not yet, anyway. Richard gets Daryl to come with him to an ambush point. He has all kinds of incendiary weapons, jars of moonshine, well, gasoline, probably. Whatever. They're Molotov cocktails. And a couple of guns. They got the crossbow and all that. And the plan is, all right, we're going to attack them. We're going to kill this caravan. And then when the next group of saviors come and see that, they're going to see a trail I left to my weapon stash. And that is nearby to a cabin where a lady lives or where a person lives. It's like, wait, who? What? Oh, it's this lady who has more balls than us. Who? What are you talking about? Oh, she'll be all right. Or she won't be. She might die. She's going to die either way. Who are you talking about? Say your name. Oh, she'll be fine. It's like, so drawn out, this interaction. And Daryl, I think, was getting frustrated that he just wouldn't say her name. Finally, he says, her name is Carol. And Daryl's like, oh, no, no, no. We're not doing that. And the saviors can hear them. They can hear them coming. And Richard's like, the time is now. We got to do this. And Daryl grabs him from behind. They have a brawl behind that billboard. I think it's the same billboard that they hid the DeLorean behind in Back to the Future. But yeah, they brawl it out. And the saviors pass by. No incident occurs. And Daryl tells him, if she even gets a cold, which is kind of harsh, how is she going to avoid getting a cold? Or how can he prevent her from getting a cold? He could be dead and then she'd get a cold. And then Daryl would still be mad and try to kill him. And in this world, he could still kill him after he was dead. But anyway, he threatens him, I'm going to kill you if anything happens to her. And yeah, so they don't do their plan, or Richard's plan, and now Daryl knows roughly where Carol is. Well, he goes with the whole gang to go see her, basically. Or does he follow? I don't know. For whatever reason, like, everybody goes to see Carol. She's annoyed, of course, but they bring her a cobbler, so that's nice. And then Daryl knocks on the door like 2 minutes later. She's like, what is going, why are people bothering me? I specifically said, like, leave me alone. But she's really happy. They're both really happy to see each other. Daryl, speaking earlier to Morgan, is convinced that, hey, Carol would go along with this plan if she knew what happened. The saviors are doing that, Glenn and Abraham are dead and all of that. But when he actually gets out there, they have a nice candlelit dinner together. Got a bit of a stew going. And he says everybody's fine. Everybody got back fine. All of that. He lies to keep her out of everything, to keep her happy where she is. And, you know, it was kind of nice of him. But when she's in the right mode, in the right mindset, she's one of the biggest assets they have when taking down an enemy force. So there's going to be some point when somebody else finds out where she is and they tell her what's really going on. And then at that point, will she be mad at Daryl? Or will the saviors get to her first with Richard implementing his plan on his own? He's going to fail miserably when he tries to do his plan. But they'll still find that weapons cache if he left an obvious trail for them. And they'll still find her near there. Probably. If any of that comes to be. Which it could. But let's go back to the other storyline. The Winslow and Jadis storyline. What is her name? I meant to look up her name just now. And let's see. I don't know why I opened a whole separate window. But let's see. Oh, there's a couple of super tall. Okay, so there's this junkyard gang. And they're friggin' weirdos, man. Their leader, Jadis, however you spell it, why does she talk like, why do any of them talk like that? they're like role playing. They're like, oh, we live in a junkyard, so let's talk like cave people. And I don't even want to put the energy in trying to talk like they do. They just leave off pronouns a lot. And yeah, it seems to be a pretty widespread sentiment, at least on Reddit, that there's no reason for them to be talking the way they do. Friggin' weirdos. Rick is just so happy this entire time. There's a couple of moments. I think because it's so different from his interaction with the Saviors, he's not afraid of these people at all. He's super confident, and he's often just very happy about the way things are going. So, they negotiate. Gabriel's safe. He's there. He's brought out. And she says, we don't learn her name right away. We learn her name towards the end of this whole sequence of events. And Jadis, their leader, who also has a weird haircut. Maybe these people were like this long before the actual events of the thing. Maybe they've always lived in this junkyard and they're just always these weird people. But they want something now. She wants them to pay. They own their lives. How are you going to buy them back? She says. Not in those words. In more disjointed words than that. But Rick basically explains like, hey, we don't have anything because we're owned by Negan now. By those people. These other people. And there's only two options when it comes to them. Either killed by them or you're owned by them. Or there's a third option, and join us to fight them, and then we can all have the stuff that they have. Gabriel makes another part of this argument, like, oh, they have tons of stuff. They have cars and stuff and other stuff. They have so much stuff. And if we beat them, we have that stuff. Kind of a good argument, I guess. It works. He's speaking their language, more or less. And so they give them a chance. They give Rick a chance. They take him to a top of this trash heap. And everybody's confused, like, what's going on? What are they even doing? Right before that is the moment I talked about with Aaron and the little handkerchief. But he goes along with it. He is nice. He's like, okay, I appreciate what you're doing. And I'm probably going to get some type of infection from this handkerchief. But I guess it's worth the risk. They talk for a quick moment at the top of that trash heap when she just shoves him off the top, falls into a pit. There's a little viewing port through a pipe so you could see what's going on. Michonne's looking through there, and they see Rick, he gets up, and a walker comes out of the thing. Now, have we seen other walkers like this? I feel like we have. But it has, like, a helmet and all kinds of blades poking out of all of it. On his shoulders, on his helmet. And, yeah, that's one scary dude. And Rick fights him. He gets a blade through his hand as he tries to keep its face away from him. And then Michonne yells, use the walls, use the walls. And Rick collapses some of the walls, and this piles of junk fall onto this walker. And then he gets a piece of glass, bundles up the end with some cloth, and kills this thing, this torture beast that they've put down into this pit. And they throw a rope down to him. Okay, you passed the test, I guess, whatever. And he asks them later, like, you just keep that thing in there for somebody to pass a test? And she says, no, his name is Winslow. Wait, what? Oh, wait, so is he pet then? If he's not there to kill people or to test people, he's a pet of some kind? Or it's a governor situation with his daughter that they've kept in that that guy means something to them, and so they keep him around. But he's in a situation in a place where they can't really get down to him, can't really interact with him. All they can do is throw people down and have them killed. And then I don't know, this group's whole philosophy, they don't bother, just take, is like their mantra, I guess. I don't know. Going out to that boat would be just taking, right? They were waiting for somebody to go get the stuff off the boat for them. Waiting for somebody else to do it and then taking their stuff from those people, that's more of a bother than just going to the boat yourself. I don't know. I don't know. These people are just complete weirdos. And are they going to be beneficial in the war against Negan? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. So they strike a deal, whatever the terms were. There's a whole like negotiation thing, and that was weird also. It was like, well, you get a third. No, we get half. We get a third. No, half of this other thing and the guns that you're going to go get. So their mission now is to go get guns for the junkyard gang. And then they'll fight alongside them to defeat Negan. So, yeah. So weird. These people are so weird. And, you know, I kind of like it. I kind of like it, but also I don't, because they're so weird. They're hanging out for a few minutes before they leave. These people are so weird. They're super impatient. He's like, guns now, soon, now, soon. Go get guns. Whatever. We have a conversation between Tara and Rosita. They're arguing like, oh, we should go back. We should go get the guns now. Blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, we got to stick together and do what Rick wants to do. So we're going to go back to Alexandria first. And Rick says, all right, Tara, you've been out further than all of us. You can at least tell us where not to look. And Tara's like, yep, exactly. That's exactly what I can tell you to do, is where not to look. Perfect. I don't have to explain anything. Rick grabs a wicker cat that's sitting there like their entrance. Oh, maybe that was a bad move. I don't know if Jadis is going to like that. It seemed to be kind of like put there on purpose. Like they're proud of that little wicker cat. But Rick takes it anyway. It's so weird how happy him and Michonne are. There's so much smiling in this episode. There's more smiling in this episode than in the last like 14 episodes. And I'm concerned. Concerned about both Rick and Michonne's well-being, and for these weird junkyard people. Back at the kingdom, Daryl talks some more. He says, "You gotta get the kingdom on board. We need this." And Morgan says, "No, it can't be me. I can't do this." But really, deep inside, it is going to be him to convince everyone, probably. Or maybe it's going to be Richard with his big, ambitious, false flag attack plan thing. Or whatever you might call it. We have a nice moment between Daryl and Shiva the tiger before he heads out. The next morning, he leaves for the hilltop, which is going to spell trouble for somebody. So we'll see what happens next week. I don't watch the next time on The Walking Dead preview things, so I have no idea what next week is going to be about. It could be a singularly focused episode on Eugene at the Savior's camp, them making him make bullets for them. But I feel like if we have a whole episode dedicated to that, it's going to be too much of a repeat of the episode of when Daryl was held captive over there. So I have a feeling, if anything, if we do see Eugene, it's going to be intermixed with this weapons quest by the main group of Rick, Michonne, Aaron, Rosita, and Tara. And that could be a pretty good one. And maybe they do accidentally... Maybe Tara is, like, trying so hard to keep them from going to the Oceanside folks that they're like, wait, what about over there? There's something. There's, like, smoke coming up or something. They wouldn't be that careless about it. But Rick would probably just, like, insist, oh, we have to check this out. Why shouldn't we check this out? And then Tara's like, do I tell them? Do I not? If we do go over there, then they're going to think I told them anyway. If I do tell them, then we can avoid them and they'll know why we should avoid them and all of that. But if we tell them, then Rick is going to want to recruit them in the fight against the Saviors. And I think they kind of need the Oceanside people's help a lot more than the junkyard gang. Because the junkyard gang I'm going to keep saying it. They're freaking weirdos. They're weirdos, and I don't know if they're going to be that much of a help against Negan. I think the Oceanside folks are much more skilled in their attacks, their ability to attack. Because like they said, don't bother, just take. And they can't be like aggressive war people, if that's how they've approached survival, right? The last thing I want to talk about is the title, New Best Friends. Who is this referring to? Could it be Daryl and Richard, who bond over archery? Probably not. They kind of split up. Is it Daryl and Carol? No, they've been really good friends for a long time. Is it Jadis and Rick? That's pushing it. I don't know if you could even describe them as friends, let alone best friends. So I'm scratching my head on this one. Who are the new best friends as described by the title of this episode? And they were hiding behind a trailer, not a billboard. So it wasn't the billboard from Back to the Future, but it was the trailer from Smokey and the Bandit. So that's it for episode 10 of season 7 of The Walking Dead. Let me know what you thought about this episode by tweeting me at TIW Podcast or TWWTWD. Go to todayiwatched.com for more reviews and links to Facebook and Instagram and all of that. If you enjoyed this episode or anything else on the site, please share some links with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, write a review on iTunes, and support the show even more at patreon.com/todayiwatched. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back next week for episode 11. Bye.